I read about this festival, like a hippie music festival, and it's a clothing optional.
Oh, yeah? Oh, God, dude, can you imagine being in a crowd with some naked dude sweating and, like, hairy, and he, like, gets smeared up against you?
Something like that, you don't get into You don't get into a packed crowd like that.
Oh, my God, dude, can you imagine that?
Yeah, that would be
just a bunch of sweaty, hairy bodies, like, pressing and slipping against each other.
It wouldn't be that. It wouldn't be that.
It might, dude. No, it might.
It would not.
If you saw what if you had clothing optional? So what if there was one naked dude amongst all the clothed people, and so you had the naked dude pressing on you?
Then you'd just get away from him.
That's what I'm saying.
There would be another naked dude.
Yeah, you just go out to the edge of the crowd.
Dude, there's always naked dudes at the edge of the crowd.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you remember when we were at that one show, and Tess, let's call her, was there, maybe you were with us, and there was a guy in front of us, and it was so hot out, and we were all so sweaty, and he had his shirt off, and he had the hairiest back I'd ever seen, like, it looked like he had a matted carpet on his back, and she turns around, and looks at me, and points at it, and makes this, like, oh my gosh face, like, can you believe how hairy this back is? And I just look at her right in the face, and I just go, like, oh my gosh, I know. And as I'm saying that, I'm pushing her closer and closer into this guy's back. And she's struggling and, like, fighting to, like, squish backwards against it, but ends up getting pressed up against this sweaty guy's back. And, oh, man. She was pretty upset at me for a while about that one.
Hi, you're listening to People Are Strange, a podcast starring me, Andy.
And me, JK. Please be advised, this show contains strong language and explicit descriptions of adult situations.
People Are Strange is not intended to promote the use of drugs or a life in the arts.
If you do decide to experiment, please do so from an informed and responsible place.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Because after all, people are strange.
Hear about the show, you know, I just kind of saw it online and I called you up and I was like, fuck man, let's go to this rave in the middle of the woods. And you were like, yeah, we'll do it. And we had kind of tried to go to one before and it didn't really work out. And, you know, I wanted to get going early in the day and it sort of got pushed back and pushed back. But finally we met up.
Pushed back because I was doing a fetish.
Yeah, you were doing something important. You were working. But, you know, we finally met up after dinner, and we were like, well, we'll get out there by 9. The music goes until 6 in the morning.
Man, it'll
be fucking
so
great.
Perfectly.
It'll be perfect. So we drove out there. Now, what we didn't know is while we were driving out there, a lot of people were turning around because the cops had shown up and made them turn down the music.
Turn
it off at first. And so we show up there, and we pull into the parking lot, and this guy's like, hey, man, the cops came earlier, but it's cool. We've still got music playing. We just have to keep it quiet. And we were just like, all right, well, fuck. Let's just check this place out. So we drive back, and we're in the middle of the goddamn woods. There's one gas station
after we got off the
highway.
The mountains.
Yeah, we stopped in the one gas station up in the mountains.
Bought so much candy and
so
snacks.
So much candy. I got a pack of cigarettes for like $4.35.
Oh,
it was,
man,
fucking
gas
glorious.
Was so cheap.
We're in these dirt roads, just like, you know, like we're in the middle of nowhere. So we walk. We don't really know what to expect. We walk up this hill.
They've got road names on these unpaved, like, rocky dirt roads with, like, street signs coming up out of
paths
the corners.
Paths are named. I think the road we were on actually wasn't, the suffix of the road wasn't, like, drive or way. It was trail. We were on something something trail. So we walk out into the middle of the woods and, you know, we start hearing kind of people talking and we start seeing fires off in the distance and we kind of turn this corner. There's all these people sort of hanging out on this path. We, you know, we get out there and there's just this tent village. You know, that was the first thing we saw.
Are you talking about
up.
When I asked the group about directions?
Yeah. And so we ended up just kind of meeting these kids gathered around a fire. Obviously tripping, you know, you remember, like, we walked up to them, we were like, hey, do you guys know where to go? And they were all just sort of like, yeah, it's like over that way. And some guy got his headlamp and he was like, I'll shine a light for you guys. I'll shine a light. As long as I can see you, I'll shine that light. And so we followed his light off and we finally found sort of the stage where they were still playing like dubstep and shit, but kind of quietly. And we kind of sat down by another, we sat down on a log. I think we packed up a bowl and we were just sort of chilling. So now, meanwhile, everyone was getting turned away. We were some of the last people to get into the show.
And we didn't have to pay.
Yeah, we didn't have to pay. We didn't even realize that. We just walked up into this place. No one asked us for money. Just totally got in for free. So we're out at this show, this rave in the middle of the woods.
Which is like a crazy space. It's like they've got like a stage, yeah, and they've got like screens with like projected images, mm-hmm, and they've light got shows, like laser lights going into the woods.
Lots of scantily clad young girls with hula hoops, very
sure,
cute.
And young men as well.
Yeah,
and
young men.
Campfires all over the place. And
yeah, lots of dudes spinning fire.
And women really and crazy cool hula hoops and
hula hoops on
light
fire.
Up hula hoops and yeah, fire hula hoops.
When they started lighting shit on fire, that was when shit started popping off.
Dude, those new wave hula hoops with like the patterns and like the remotes, oh my gosh, dude, those things are crazy.
You know, we were looking at these hula hoops. This girl had this really, really cool hula hoop.
She would wave it around and look like it's snake patterns.
Yeah, that was what was neat about it, was the lights around the edge flashed in a certain pattern so that when you spun the hula hoop, it made patterns. The lights formed these sort of
extra patterns.
Yeah, I was trying to think of like
you
a better word for
no,
it. But
you said it.
You know, they just form these kind of like trippy, like
it's super awesome.
Yeah, and super
especially
awesome.
Especially when you're enhanced with a few chemicals.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah.
I also brought this green dragon drink that had been percolated from stems, and we mixed this like it's.
Wait,
like,
so explain the green dragon a little bit more. It's liquor distilled with weed.
Yeah. So all right. So this is one of my nerdy things. So weed is soluble in two things: alcohol and fat. So when you're cooking with it, like the body can take it in those two ways. If it's bonded to an alcohol or a fat. So then when you're cooking, you have to do it with butter or oil. But you can also take a bunch of stems, let it soak in a bottle of Everclear for a while, a couple months, and then you can mix that in with, say, a mango lemonade.
Yeah, which is what I just had sitting on my counter.
Oh my.
Just grabbed some mango lemonade,
so
put a couple
tasty
of shots. It was the fucking most delicious.
It was so good. And it feels like you're eating or drinking like a baked good. Like you can taste like the essence of weed in there amongst mm-hmm. like everything else tasty and good.
Mm-hmm.
And so we like brought this and we were sipping on this and also, you know, had to give out a few sips to cool characters that we met throughout the night. And
exactly.
They all.
Everybody loved it.
They all wanted another.
Everybody fucking. The reaction was always, looked up at the sky.
They wanted to run away with the bottle.
Yeah, that one girl tried to take your bottle. Yeah. So we're just sort of chilling out. All of a sudden, JK
by a fire.
Disappears. Says, "Oh man, I just gotta chill for a second."
Went and sat on this beautiful rock right next to a tree and just had to get connected. With
so you were feeling good during that. You were like, overwhelming.
I mean, like by the time I sat down, it was like I was backing up. And like then it was like I was going underwater for a second, like my ears were like popping, and like the sound of the party was like going crazy.
So,
and like we didn't have to go anywhere. I was sitting on that rock,
we stayed in one spot
and we chilled and we met immediately. We were like, oh, we met promoters for the party, people mm-hmm. who we wanted to meet. We met cool characters who we wanted to meet. We met this guy who had an iguana that ate a quarter of marijuana a day. It was this huge, like 5 foot.
I think
iguana
it was named Big Boy.
That was sitting on his shoulder.
Fucking massive, like 14. Year old iguana.
Who we kept seeing throughout the night and kept then thinking we were seeing throughout the night as well.
Yep.
He was just like the king, like
yeah.
sitting on this guy's
big
shoulder,
iguana
just like
smile,
like blissed out.
So we were just kind of hanging out and listening to the music, which was progressively getting louder. They kept kind of towing the line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we walked through the crowd at first, and we were like, okay, let's get on out of here. Let's go back to the outside and wander around the tent a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we ended up later on being the people in the center going fucking crazy, mm-hmm, dancing mm-hmm. so hard.
Yep.
Just feeling the music.
We reached the epicenter in more ways than one.
I realized that the people on the outside were now looking at us as the crazy bunch of party goers we had become.
Right. Well, we were sort of hanging out in the fringe, and we were balls.
We met like a bunch of crazy, awesome people too.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about next.
Yeah, most of them was like they're like first or second time, like the veterans that we had talked to had only been going to those things for like a couple months.
Yeah, yeah. But so we ended up meeting this one girl who she probably about 18 or 19 years old, and she was a Molly dealer. And we met her.
Maybe a little older than that.
I think she was 18 or 19. Yeah. I have a little insider knowledge, but yeah. So she.
Oh, that's right. You found her online.
Yeah, I friended her on Facebook. So we were talking to this girl who is this very young Molly dealer who has another job working in the school system, which I probably shouldn't say too much about because that's a little
just
risque,
don't talk
right?
About her too much.
Exactly, yeah. So we were just talking to this really cool girl who works with kids. We were just sort of on the fringes, you know.
Yeah,
we were
yeah.
sitting on these rocks, like by the stage.
We might have been smoking a bowl or
and this,
doing
yeah,
whatever.
This kind of cute girl came over and just was sort of standing by us and kind of glancing at us. So we started talking to her, and we ended up hanging out with
she
her through most of the night. Yeah, yeah. I think we initiated
it's
the conversation.
Irrelevant.
It's irrelevant. So we're hanging out, and one of the weird things though, that happened initially was this security dude came up to me as I was handing her your $20 bill.
Yeah, thanks for treating me like a 2-year-old.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Process.
Facilitating your deal. Well, the reason I did that was because I thought you were really fucked up, and you were also in the middle of packing a bowl. So I was trying to help. But
we knew it went deeper than that later on when you kept trying to grab the bag from me.
Sorry, it's ingrained, man. It's well, and also it was my bag first. Remember, that's why
we
I was
did recycle
to grab
bags.
It. Yeah, we recycled the bag. So the security dude came up and said, "Hey, man, don't do that right out in the open. If I see it again, I'm gonna have to take it from you or get you to leave." And which was, I like that or in there. I'm either going to have to take the drugs or make you leave, which made me think if he's taking drugs, they're fucking, those security guys are doing them, which was reinforced later when I looked to my right and saw a big, huge dude with a beard and a security shirt taking a nitrous balloon to the face, you know, in the middle of the dance pit. But yeah, so the security guy, you know, we had this kind of weird interaction with him, but supposedly what was happening was the neighbors, the guys that lived kind of on the farmland nearby were walking around the property just to see what was going on. And so they didn't really want those club drugs. They didn't really want the bags of powder. You know, blunts were okay.
The association of drugs being the only kind of perception of the festival. It was much more than, you know, just the drugs there. There was a lot of music and art happening as well and good vibrations and all kinds of stuff.
Exactly, yeah. And
they wanted it to be more meaningful than just...
Yeah, it's not 100% about the drugs, you know. It definitely isn't. I would say drugs go hand in hand with this sort of music celebration of life and energy event.
Well,
you know, that's kind of what it is. It's like a celebration of energy and youth and living life. That's what it is. It's a celebration of living life to the fullest. You know, that's kind of what a rave is. It's the drugs get associated with it because that is kind of the best way to experience that event, but it doesn't have to be. You can definitely get to that mindset in other ways. The drugs kind of loosen you up and put you in that loving state of accepting everything that is presented to you, you know. We got onto the dance floor and actually, before
felt the responsibility as well. We kept all of our cans with us, and we put them out in the proper respect.
Oh, we were very responsible. Yeah.
Not just us. There were other people as well who
certainly
wanted to make sure to leave the space in a good space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're a young person and you're going to raves, remember to be responsible. Because I saw a lot of young people who were being a bit too aggressive for that sort of event. You know, they were kind of trying to start fights with each other over stupid things and, you know, just being a little bit too aggressive. And
too inebriated,
perhaps. Maybe too inebriated. Yeah, part of responsibility is you can get really fucked up, but you don't want to be falling over. You don't want to get stuck in a K-hole. And, you know,
no,
we
you
ran into one guy near the end that kept putting his hands in our bag because he thought it was his bag.
Oh, man.
Don't get to that point, man. That's not necessary. We were fucked up off our tits and we were still coherent, you know what I mean? We're a bit older, but still, you know, you can always be responsible. Go in lightly, you know. You can always do more, but you can never do less.
That's right. Good message.
So the reason that we ended up at this festival was because our friend was playing there, our sort of hippied out friend. We'll just call him DJ Dread because there's a ton of DJ Dreads. And he was chilling out, and he had a tent in the VIP section. And so he sort of came over to us and was like, "Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?" And we're like, "Hey, what's up, man?" And, you know, I turned to him and I was like, yeah, we're looking for a plate. Do you have a tent here?
This is right after you talked about wanting to find him so that we could do exactly the plan that came to fruition.
He showed up 2 seconds after. There was so much
just perfect energy.
Synchronicity. Exactly. Yeah. So he walked up to us. He said, do you have a tent here? He said, yeah, it's in the VIP section. So we walk out into the really dark part of the woods down this sloping hill. And we sit down by his tent in a couple of chairs. And, dude, to be honest, I have absolutely no idea how I successfully pulled that off, because it was fucking difficult to do.
I was so worried about you. I was worried about it. You kept insisting you wanted to do it, well, and then you looked so shaky and uncomfortable.
Because getting multiple people involved would have made it more difficult.
Yes, I know. I was like, either you have to do it or I have to do it. Both of us can't do this.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we ended up just folding all of the crystals inside of a 20. All of it did. I think if anything spilled, it was a negligible amount. I somehow, the difficult part was getting it back into the fucking bag. We walked back up to the festival, totally pumped, ready to dance.
Oh, man.
So we went up and we started fucking dancing hard. We started going hard. And the girls came over and started chilling with us. And we were all chilling. We were dancing with that one girl there that was barely wearing any clothing.
They shared their weed later on with us as well.
They shared, and it was just great having those, you know, new friends around, new people around, and just chilling with them. And so we were all fucking dancing in the middle of the dance floor, just fucking throwing down
like,
so
like
hard.
Which had hills and like rocks in it. Mm-hmm. It was like an unstable surface. It was just a complete mishmash, but it was just perfect.
Yeah, we were totally on a hill. It was kind of a funny place to have the stage because everybody was just on a slope, you know.
Yeah,
but
it was great.
So we ended up. This DJ came on. This female DJ, I think the only female DJ that was on when we were there, and she had these big blonde dreads, kind of a bigger woman, and she was fucking throwing down so hard. She was smoking blunts, and then she started doing balloons. She started doing nitrous balloons.
The tattoo her face.
Yeah, exactly. And we saw her later, and she the only thing she said was, "If you guys want one, there's a tank right over next to the stage." It's like, I think I'm good on the nitrous.
So yeah.
I don't get down with that too much, but. So she was going hard, and I was having a lot of fun watching her. And this is when I heard something really funny that I haven't told you about yet. That because it was a little bit uncomfortable at the time. Because when you're on sort of a lot of those drugs, you're kind of worried about things going wrong. You don't really want to, you know, if people start to fight, you really want to get away from that. You don't want to be part of the negative energy. You just want positivity. I remember one of the DJs towards the end of the night was yelling at some guy who was being disruptive, and he said, "Yo, man, I'm gonna fucking kill you if you don't calm down." Ugh. And I just thought, you don't talk about killing people.
No, you don't even bring that word up.
At a love event, you know? No. Like, that's not what it's about. It really is about, at the jam band festivals, what they say is it's always just about positive vibes. You know, that's their big thing. Positive vibes, man.
You
good
don't even
vibes.
Talk about fighting.
Yeah, and at the raves, it's plur. It's peace, love, unity, and respect, which is like a big thing that
sometimes
I'll get into a little bit. Yeah, and responsibility. I think that's important as well, the second R. We were dancing, and all of a sudden, she started, she kind of moved into dubstep. She went from, like, she was sort of playing, like, these kind of hip-hop, trancey beats.
The DJ with the balloon.
Yeah, I think it was the girl. It might have been the DJ after her.
Okay.
It's difficult to remember, as you can imagine. But somebody started dropping these hard dubstep beats, like these dirty, filthy, womp, womp, womp.
Crunchy.
And some kid behind us starts going, "No, not yet, not yet, no, not yet." And he just fucking takes off into the woods. "Not yet, no." And some other guy went, "We have ourselves a tweaker."
I heard that too. Yeah.
And it was so funny, but I also like didn't want to bring it up.
I saw him like run down there like a couple seconds before that. He was like kind of running around the fringes of things, like looking around like he was looking for someone. And then I heard, I didn't look at him while this exchange happened. I didn't see that.
But it was just so funny to hear like the really hard music drop and him go, "No, not yet, not yet."
He wasn't ready for it. But
exactly.
He was ready for it.
He was ready. He just didn't, he didn't know that he was ready. Yeah. You gotta say yes. And then, you know, the night proceeded. We proceeded to get even more intoxicated.
We had brought sleeping bags and chairs and like a whole bunch of stuff. But we had to park so far away that we ended up like changing and just grabbing like a bag of like our treats, our candy and stuff that we had brought, and like warmer clothes, and like warmer clothes, and then like another bag of like beer, mm-hmm. and so like
10 beers, all of which we drank,
or gave away. I think a couple were given away. And so like we were like, well, there's, you know, there's just no way we're sleeping tonight. Anyways, it would be cool to do that again and have a tent to like set up and have like a fire or whatever. But
To keep the bag. But it was actually, every time we were dancing, we had to put all the bags in the middle of the circle.
At the end of the night, everyone was like, or in the morning, people were like, shoot, we got stuff to clean up. We didn't have anything.
Yeah, we didn't have shit. We didn't break down a tent.
Walk right out of there. Yeah, and it was kind
of what we did.
It was perfect.
It was 6:30. I turned to you. I said, hey, you want to just walk back to the car?
Yeah, sure. Let's stop off. We got to do one errand. I got to pick something up from a guy in a green mask.
Yeah, then, we'll get into that. Yeah, but there's a little bit more than night.
And then we had to walk past the moon bounce.
Yeah, there was a moon bounce
in the middle of the fucking mountains.
Moon bounce in the middle of the woods.
We heard about it during the night, and we were like, what? No way. That's probably so far away. We saw it the next day. It was so close, and it was a moon bounce right in the middle of the mountains in the forest.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a moon bounce. It was like an obstacle course with slides and like things you had to jump through. And oh my god,
slides! Exactly. There were a bunch of kids sitting in it doing dabs.
Yeah.
So the night proceeded, and we got really fucked up. We made a bunch of friends early in the night. There was a couple that
before
had helped organize the event. Exactly, before the acid kicked in for everybody. I remember at one point looking over, and there are these dudes just sitting in close proximity to the stage, kind of within sight of the hula hoop dancers and stuff. And a lot of people were doing hula hoops with fire, and there were guys who would light, they looked like marshmallows. They would light these marshmallow looking coals on fire and just fucking, spiral them around. They were all so talented. There was no danger in getting hit with the fire. Everybody knew what the fuck they were doing.
I don't know about that. There were some guys spinning them, and I was not too eager to jump to the front of the line. Yeah, I was like, I'll watch this from a
But,
distance.
You know, as far as I saw, everything remained, I saw one fight that night, but other than that, everything was very safe.
What type of fight? When you say fight, that's a very...
A couple of guys were just scrapping on the ground, and the security immediately moved. Immediately moved, separated them, and got them out of the festival, and that was it. You know, that's why you gotta have that security there.
Oh, yeah, for
because,
sure.
Because...
And not have it be the Hell's Angels who are gonna stab people.
Exactly, yeah. No, the security guys were very legit, and they were very respectful of the event, and, you know, obviously, since one was taking nitrous balloons to the face,
they were chill, man. They were chill. They just wanted you to be respectful and, you know.
They were promoting the love and unity of the event.
Absolutely. And respect.
Yeah. That was really my first foray into that culture. Like, I've been to a couple raves
before. And you know what? It was totally different than what I expected it to be. And
agreed.
I was kind of skeptical going into it. Mm-hmm. And I was even skeptical at the beginning of it, but mm-hmm. ended up having a really positive experience from it. And, you know, that's their way of finding a little bit of space to just go out and be free. There was a message of everyone being accepted.
Yeah.
You know, which was...
That's what the event info said, is nerds, rejects, and losers are welcome.
Sure, it's anyone. You know? And we saw people of all kinds. People who looked like they certainly belong there. And people who looked like they was their totally first time and they were kind of taking it all in and were dressed like just anyone else that you might see. Mm-hmm. And you know what? There was room for everyone.
Yeah.
There were some like younger folk friendly. Or more kind of obnoxious folk in the group.
A little aggressive,
but you have to accept that
as
part of everything as well.
And you have to hope that through those events they will learn that, you know, that aggressiveness and that hostility just isn't necessary.
Or maybe they want you to the next one and they came and found that, you know, they had their experience and...
Yeah. There's a thing called, they refer to these people as candy kids, and they're the ravers that you see with all the plastic kind of childlike bracelets on, you know, the sort of bracelets that kids would make in elementary school with, you know,
big
words
beads
on them, big plastic beads, and the candy kids wear these bracelets. They're called candy. The bracelets
How do you spell
candy? K-A-N-D-I. And,
Now, what's that from?
I don't know. I don't know what the origin of it is. But the idea is that you trade candy with anyone who's nice to you or anyone that you like and you meet at the festival. And there's a sort of ritual that goes along with the trading of the candy. And the ritual is... it follows this idea of what I was talking about before, plur, or peace, love, unity, respect, and responsibility. And that comes from this rave DJ named Frankie Bones, who saw guys fighting in a show and said, "Hey, don't do that. We're about peace, love, and unity here." You know, and that, you know, the rave culture has really embraced that. Especially the Candy Kids are the ones that really, really tend to believe in this idea of peace, love, unity, and respect. And the trading of the bracelets is a lot about that. And the idea is, like, you press your fingers together in a peace sign, and that's peace. And then you form a heart with your hands, and that's love. And then you clasp the other person's hand, that's unity, and then you trade a bracelet with them, and that's respect. And JK and I both got given candy that night by this guy. And that was like a really cool moment for me, like just having this guy be like, hey, this is like, you know...
And we couldn't even trade because we didn't have one. This was
yeah, and he
first
just
one.
Gave them to us. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, and that was really cool of him. And like, you know, I really felt accepted in that moment. Like, I already did feel accepted, but that was like a moment when I really felt like I grasped the purpose of the middle of the woods rave.
And this is when the sun was coming up over mm-hmm. everything, and we're getting to see this kind of cool environment out in yeah. front of us. And he had things written on them, and got to.
What did yours say?
What did yours say?
Mine says baby face. Baby face. He says I look young.
Mine says party pro. All
right. Now he was one of the only guys that was our age, because I remember he said, "You look young. I'm going to give you one that says baby face."
He's older than us.
Yeah. And I said, "You want to know how old I am?" He said, "How old are you?" I said, 26. He said, "I'm 28.
Is that it? I thought he was older than that.
No, I think he was 20.
Well, dude, it didn't matter. You keep talking about people's ages and shit there, but the point was there. It didn't really matter. We were all there.
No, it's cool. Well, it's interesting because not as many people our age go to that sort of thing, because I think it's kind of viewed as this like young sort of kid thing where they're just going crazy. But that's
and are kind of settled into this routine of things.
Yeah, it's hard to shake up that routine.
Yeah, because it's certainly an adventurous kind of thing to do, to go drive out to this rumored place. That you're not really sure about the experience, and park your car.
There's an element of danger
in some space, and go walk up this fucking hill mm-hmm. and the rocky road. And, yeah. But you know what? It was awesome.
Yeah. No. It was absolutely amazing. And you know, I really like believe in that sort of culture. And you know, it's we were in a state that is a bit more conservative. We were in sort of a backwoods, I don't want to say backwoods, because there's a lot of cool stuff there, but it is a conservative state. Sure. You know, we're out in the East Coast, we're kind of down south. And, you know, I think for a lot of those kids, you know, they probably grow up in conservative families. A lot of them, you know, probably have, you know, I think we met a decent amount of transgender gay people there. That's probably the one place they really are accepted, you know, is like going out.
Or even if they're
like
not,
that.
They just
even
like
if they're
listening
not, yeah.
to music and like dancing and, or, you know, like whatever. It mm-hmm. was a place where everyone could come out and make their own little, you know, pitch a tent wherever they wanted in the space
yeah.
in the woods.
You
know, have their, or mingle in amongst, you know, whoever. We had plenty of people invite us to come over and hang out in their space that they
yep.
set up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just bummed
good
people.
Good vibes, bro,
guys,
all around.
Yeah, guys had made fires, and this one guy would keep waking up from his hammock at, like, in his campsite that we were all hanging around in and talking and keeping him awake, and he would keep waking up and go and put more firewood on
yeah.
the fire so that we could keep hanging out.
It was
there.
A huge communal effort to keep the fires going. That was
oh,
really
yeah.
cool. You saw
yeah.
all kinds of people gathering
scouring
up firewood.
The wood,
yeah, just
woods.
Everybody at one point would be like, "I'm going to build a fire now," and they
I'm
would do
take
it.
Take 30 seconds and go find some
yeah,
wood.
And those fires never went out.
No, no.
There was multiple
and
fires.
And in the morning, they were used. Like
mm-hmm.
people, you know, were coming down and were getting a little chill, and
yeah.
you know, they were used throughout the night too. They were used.
Putting on sweatshirts,
time.
Gathering around the fire.
Yeah.
Or they're dressed in bikinis and need the
really
fire
nice.
To not get hypothermia.
But they have, you know, there's some of those, like, weird furry hats or, like, weird
furry hats.
Yeah.
I love them. Yeah, that's dude, great. I you know what I really like that I wish we had seen more of? This might be going out of style, but the boots, the furry boots that the girls wear, you know what I'm talking about? The, like, furry. You ever seen this?
I mean, not Uggs.
No, no, they're like these rave boots,
yeah.
and they're just like these fluffy, furry kind of
maybe,
things.
Maybe.
Yeah, if you ever
things.
Saw them, yeah, leg warmer type things, kind of, yeah, yeah. Almost like furry cuffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right before we left, the sun was coming up. Yeah. So you followed this guy to this tent, and I kind of peeked in to see what was going on, because you took fucking forever.
Oh my god, you're being such a little bitch about it.
What? No, I wasn't.
No, you were good, and then afterwards you're like, oh my goodness. I'm like, yeah, but under the flap it made
joking
sense.
Around.
He's like,
yeah.
how long does it take you to count out $5?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, if you saw that, he pulled out just like a wad of crumpled
exactly,
bills from his
yeah.
pocket, and
that's
then
what
had to
I
find
imagined.
Five singles.
But the funny thing was, though, is I poked my head under this tent, and this dude just has a green face mask on. His face is just covered by this green plastic mask.
And we had,
mask.
Woken him up from a slumber, too. Yeah. Like, he was sleeping. I don't know if he was sleeping with the mask on or had to, like, you know, take a couple seconds to collect himself and find that when he woke up.
I feel like he put the mask on to protect his identity.
Yeah, could be.
Maybe which was a little bit unnecessary. But then again, if you're selling to strangers, you might as well put a mask on. You know?
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Thank you for joining us for People Are Strange. If you enjoyed the show, please like us on Facebook. Subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes. Email us, andyandjk@gmail.com. And most importantly, tell your friends. I'm Andy. And I'm JK. Be sure to check back with us next week for another exciting new episode of People Are Strange.